Everyone, I don't know if it was just me being warm. My wife said it's a little warm, so I'm definitely warm. Well, I am excited to be up here. I'm excited to be doing this morning. I'm excited because what we will be getting here and carrying on throughout the year, I hope you're excited as well. If not, just fake it. I'll accept that. But before we dig into anything, we need and must go to the Lord in prayer. So will you join me? Father, we are going to come again to your word. We're going to come again to you. I do ask, beg, plead that your spirit be here, that you will impress this upon our hearts and our minds so that we will seek after you with everything that we have, with everything that we are, for our good and your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Well, I would encourage you to open up your sermon notes to that part there, or open up your bulletin to the sermon notes there, and you might look for a scripture. We'll get to some, but we're not looking at a particular verse and breaking it down this week. We need to talk about spiritual disciplines in general. And if you're wondering, yes, I've got a little bit of congestion, so my singing voice is even better than normal. My apologies to all of you sitting in front of me. We are going to look at the spiritual disciplines. Think of it this way. It's January. What does everybody go do in January? They get a membership to the gym because they want to get healthier. Brothers and sisters, it's not just your physical health that we need to improve. It's our spiritual health as well. And we're going to do that through spiritual disciplines. And we're going to talk about all of that and what that's going to look like this year. So let's start with the when. When are we going to talk about spiritual disciplines? Well, the first Sunday. So for your notes there, the first Sunday of every month, we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines. I know. Don't come up to me afterwards and go, hey, Pastor, it's the second Sunday. I know I wasn't here last week, so close enough. But generally, from here on out, the first Sunday we'll be discussing the various spiritual disciplines. So, yes, the first Sunday of every month we'll be taking a different spiritual discipline to talk about. But that's not the only time we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines. If you had a membership to the gym and you went once a month, what would be the point? You got to go all the time. It's the same with spiritual disciplines. So if you notice in your bulletin, after the sermon notes section, you'll see two pages have a little purple page board or whatever you want to call it there, and it says simplify your spiritual life. Each week, there will be information about the spiritual disciplines or about the particular spiritual discipline. So every week when you thoroughly read and look over your bulletin, hint, hint, you will be reminded of that spiritual discipline. So it's not something we just talk about one Sunday a month and forget until the next month. Also, to a large extent, the spiritual disciplines mean nothing if you don't do them. Think about it like going to the gym. You can have a gym membership. You can know all of the right exercises. You can know how to use each piece of equipment. But until you actually do the work, it means nothing. It's the same way with spiritual disciplines. You can know all of the spiritual disciplines. You can know how you're supposed to do the spiritual disciplines. But if you never actually practice the spiritual disciplines, you don't grow. So each month, we will be giving you opportunities to actually do the spiritual disciplines. And I would encourage you to think about, as we go through some of these, if your first reaction is, ooh, I don't want to do that one. Brothers and sisters, you got to do them. It's for your good. It's for your health. That would be like going to the trainer at the gym. And he says, you really need to do this exercise. And you go, yeah, I don't want to do that one. But you want to get healthy. Yeah, but I don't like that one. And he would probably say, I didn't ask which ones you liked. I said, here's the ones that you need. So, who should be doing the spiritual disciplines? Now, I know you're going to think the answer is everyone. That's actually not true. The actual answer is believers. Believers are the ones that are supposed to be practicing spiritual disciplines. My evidence for that would be, for instance, Romans 8:29. So flip over to that verse. Because we want to say, well, everybody should be practicing spiritual disciplines. Really, they shouldn't. Romans 8:29 gives us a hint of this, and we'll look at a couple more. In Romans 8:29, excuse me. Romans 8:29, Paul writes, for those whom he foreknew, So this is talking about, for those that God knew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So who is it that is going to be conformed to the image of his son? Not everybody. So not everybody is going to be conformed into the image of Christ. Not everybody is going to be Christ-like. Not everybody is going to be pursuing Christ-likeness. Not everybody should be doing the spiritual disciplines. But of course, what that means, dear brothers and sisters, is if you claim to follow Christ, you are the ones that need to be doing spiritual disciplines. Flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a very famous verse in 2 Timothy 3:16 and somewhat 3:17, but there's a little note in there in 2 Timothy 3:17 that I think gives us some clarification on this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the very famous verse, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, if we stop there, we would go, oh, yes, see, everybody needs to be reading the Word. And I'll agree with that. But notice what 17 says, that who may be complete, equipped for every good work? That the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. For believers, yes, it would be good for everybody to do spiritual discipline. Sure, that's fine, but it's a necessity for the man of God to be doing them so that we can be conformed to Christ's likeness. That is who has to be doing them. I hope that makes you wonder this morning if you are a believer. Because in one sense, the first Sunday of every month, if you're not a believer, is not necessarily going to make the most sense to you. But I hope that makes you wonder, wow, am I? Do I believe? What do I believe? Because all of these spiritual disciplines are for those who believe. I pray that you do. I pray that every week when you walk in here, you recognize that that cross means that the God who created you paid for your sin. I hope that you recognize as we begin a new year that your eternity depends on your relationship, not to this church, not to the pastor, not to the deacons, not to the body, but to God. I hope that you know what the gospel is, that Jesus Christ paid for the sin of those who will be his children. Because that is who needs to be reading the scriptures and doing the spiritual disciplines. One last one to convince you of this. Look at Colossians 1:29. Now, it's an interesting thing that happens in this verse. One of the things that we've talked about through the years is the difficulty in Scripture of reconciling God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Is God sovereign in every moment? Yes. Are you responsible for your free choices? Yes. And all I can tell you is Scripture says both. I cannot reconcile them. I don't know how. And often in the similar, in one verse, Paul will say both. He says it here in Colossians 1:29. Notice what Paul writes. For this, Christ-likeness, maturity in Christ, for this I toil. So Paul is saying he's working at this, struggling with all the energy that he, God, powerfully works within me. So what does Paul say? So first he's saying, I'm working with everything I have because everything I have is what he's given me. Well, Paul, is it you working or is it everything that he's giving you? And Paul would say, yes. It is both of those. It is me giving everything I've got, knowing that everything I've got is what he's given me. But notice his point is to say that everything he's got to work out his spiritual disciplines, everything he's got to be conformed to Christ's likeness is because what God has given him. Meaning, if God hasn't given you anything, if you are not a believer, you won't be able to do the spiritual disciplines. Because, well, let's hold the because. That's going to be the big section at the end. So, the first Sunday of every month, we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines, and believers really, really, really need to think about these and practice these. So you may be asking, okay, what are they? Well, you'll notice a lot of blanks. We're not going to talk too much about what they are, but we are going to mention them. So I guess I would say, Noah, get ready. Lots of things to go over quickly. First, Bible intake. Bible intake. Now, we could probably do that for several weeks. I'm going to try my best to condense it to one. Because how do you intake the Bible? You go, well, you read it. Yep, you do. You read it. You also memorize it. You also study it. You also hopefully sing it. You probably also pray it. There's lots of ways to do Bible intake. But we will be looking at how you get God's Word into you as the single most important thing you could do. The next one is prayer. Prayer. Not just, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray. That's fine. Not just, good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. That one's not so fine. But real, true conversation with God. Now, the rest of these, I'm not necessarily going to say what order they're going to go in. I'm going to list them in this, that come from the book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, Don S. Whitney. And here's my shameless name dropping. The first two we're going to do in order, Bible intake and prayer, because Don Whitney told me to last week. We were in Kentucky visiting family. We went to the mall. What do you do when you go to the mall? There's a Lego store. You go to the Lego store. Walking through the Lego store, and I hear somebody mention the word seminary. So, of course, I'm looking over there, and I see this old guy with white hair, white beard, white mustache. It's Don Whitney in the Lego store. So, of course, I say, hey, Don. I didn't say it like that, but I did. You'll never guess what we're starting next week. We're starting to preach through spiritual disciplines. I think that was kind of God saying, yes, please do that. So I bump into the guy that literally wrote the book in the Lego store in Oxmoor Mall in Kentucky. What are the odds? It's almost like God planned that out. And I asked him, I said, do you have any advice? He said, well, first, he said, I would make sure to do Bible intake and prayer in that order. He said, because it's much more important for us to hear from God than for God to hear from us. And that's why you wrote the book. That's really good. Hold on, let me write that down. So we will do those first two in that order, Bible intake and prayer. The rest of them we may jumble around a little bit just for the sake of what things we can do in the weather and in the time that we have, because I want to make sure that we have opportunities to practice these. Now, the third one may confuse you a little bit because the third one's worship. You may go, what do you mean worship? That's not a personal spiritual discipline. That's what we all do together. It is true that there are personal spiritual disciplines, things that you need to do for your sake. And it is true that there are what they call interpersonal spiritual disciplines, things that you can only do in the congregation. For instance, the Lord's Supper. Can you do it by yourself? Not really. Because the Lord's Supper is a communal event. That's what it's designed for. Baptism. Can you do baptism by yourself? It's called a bath. You can't really do it by yourself. It is designed to be within the body of believers. Can you do worship by yourself? Oh. Well, that's one that is communal and also individual. Worship should be at moments between you and the Lord. Not just here, but also here. So we will talk about what worship would look like for you in your own personal spiritual discipline. And my guess is, so far, you're like, okay, Bible intake, it might not be fun, but I can do it. Prayer, I got that one. Worship, I got that one. How about the next one, evangelism? I can see some of you now going, February, March, April, May. I'm going to be sick in May. I'm going to skip that one. And here's the thing. I know that title in and of itself frightens some people. And I can hear you going, well, I'm already ready with, I don't have the gift of the evangelist. Look, we're not going to deal with a ton of that right now. But I will tell you, I don't care whether you got the gift or not, do it. But I will say, this is still something you're supposed to do. Again, if you have any kind of exercise or activity, do you like every discipline within it? When you play football, did you like every practice and every exercise and every drill and every stretch? No. If you play an instrument, did you always like learning the scales and go, no. I don't care what thing it is that it's important to you. If it took work and energy, my guess is there were some of those that were just harder than others. But you did them because, well, hold the because. We'll get there. Next, serving. Yes, believe it or not, it is a spiritual discipline to serve. Now, some of you may go, but I'm just wired that way. That's great. Do it well for the glory of God. But serving is something that we are called to do, and we will make the case as we go through them in the coming months on where that comes from Scripture and what that ought to look like. Oh, yes, stewardship. Oh, you knew there'd be a money one. You knew there'd be a money one, stewardship, so that you give to the church. But here's what I would say. Isn't there a verse, and I think I've read this somewhere, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? Meaning that your treasure and your heart align up. So sometimes what we have to do for our own sakes is get our hearts in the right spot. Now, I will confess to you, this next one is probably going to be your actual least favorite. Maybe it's just mine. Fasting. I know. It's an ironic term because whenever you're doing it, it feels so slow. But here's the thing. It is not a question of if. It really is a when. We're supposed to do it. And I can see you processing now. Wait, he said every month we're going to have an opportunity to do that. Oh, I'm going to have to actually do this one. Me too. But here's the thing, guys. I want to grow in Christ's likeness. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to grow in my faith. I want to be a better Christian by the end of this year than I am at the beginning. How about you? So I'm going to look at some of these and go, man, I don't want to do that. But the last time I checked, when Jesus is encountering folks, he doesn't say, what would you like to do? Oh, come on, we know the story, the rich young ruler, we talk about it all the time. Jesus said, if you want to be my follower, here's what you have to do. And the rich young ruler promptly said, yeah, I'm out, I don't want to do that. And what was Jesus' response to the rich young ruler when he turned to walk away? I will tell you exactly what Jesus said. He said nothing. He let him walk away. He didn't go, well, that's going to be a tough one. You're right. You shouldn't have to do that. This is going to be hard. Just skip that one. Look, I'm not going to pretend that fasting is going to be easy, and we'll talk about details, and some of you may be going, well, I'm not sure health-wise. I know. We'll get to that. I'm just sure that some of you are going, I don't want to do that one. Yeah, me neither. But we have to do what God has called us to do for, hold on, we'll get there. Now, if fasting is probably the least fun sounding of them, I would argue the next one is probably the most lost in our day, silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. Anybody here have a cell phone? When was the last time you experienced silence and solitude? I mean, not even in the bathroom. We have speakers in the shower. I don't know the last time we experienced silence and solitude, but that too is a spiritual discipline. That too is something that we need to do. And again, brothers and sisters, we will go over these more in the coming weeks, but consider just briefly, be still and know that I am God. When was the last time you were still, silence and solitude? Now, this next one might be my wife's personal favorite, actually. Journaling. Journaling. We're supposed to write the stuff down. And again, we'll make the case for that later. But let me just encourage you with this. What does God over and over and over again do in the Old Testament? Does he not remind his people what he has done for them? I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. I fed you and watered you in the desert. I protected you from this. Because most of them couldn't write it down. The point is to journal so that you see what God has done. But We'll get more into that. This next one might be my personal favorite, learning. Learning. We should be learning. And again, I know some of you say, whoa, graduated, I'm out, I'm done. I didn't say we're going to give quizzes. Didn't say we weren't. But we need to be learning. If you think you know everything about God, my guess is you know nothing about God. And now, probably the question that you've really cared about in a sense is why? All those because when I said we'll get there, all those fours I said we'll get there, why would we do this? Why take a Sunday every month to break up our routine of exercise? Why take time each month to actually go and exercise? Why do this? I mean, we know why we go to the gym. To look good. Or maybe get healthy, something like that. We know why we practice. To be proficient at a sport, at a craft, at an activity, at some type of music. We know why we do that. Why practice spiritual discipline? Because aren't I just a Christian? I just go and do? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. You'll see that bolded there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it's kind of like the theme verse, in a sense, for all of this. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Now, that's the first part of that. Paul's been talking to Timothy about things that distract him from what he needs to be doing. He said, don't get distracted. Boy, brothers and sisters, there is an important note for us. Don't get distracted, Facebook feed. Don't get distracted, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. Don't get distracted, 24/7 news. Don't get distracted. Okay, how many people know how many votes for Speaker of the House there were? Way too many. But don't think I wasn't checking. Did he win yet? Did he win yet? Did he win yet? And you know what's fascinating? He finally won. Kevin McCarthy won after 15 votes. And you know what difference that made to me? Zip. But I checked. All the time. Didn't matter. Don't be distracted, Paul says to his son in the faith. And here's what he says to us along with that. Rather, train yourself. The New American Standard says, discipline yourself for godliness. So why practice the spiritual disciplines? For your note, godliness. Would you like to be like God? Oh, not the Adam and Eve way. Would you like to be more godly? Would you like to be more like Christ? Would you like to be a better Christian? That's why we practice spiritual disciplines. I know some of you may be going, oh, this just sounds like a lot of work and it's going to be all these rules. And Elizabeth Elliot, many of you would know her from Beyond the Spear and those movies where her husband was martyred. And she said, freedom and discipline have come to be regarded as mutually exclusive, when in fact freedom is not at all the opposite, but the final reward of discipline. Freedom in Christ as a result of being disciplined in Christ. Okay, I would say I watch too much football. That's not true. There's no such thing. But I did see, I don't know how many of you saw this really weird play yesterday from the Kansas City Chiefs. They're calling it the ring around the rosy. They were in a huddle, and you've seen guys huddle. And then they actually started circling around in the huddle. It was the strangest thing to see 300-pound men dancing in a circle. It was weird. But the play worked. And it was this odd, funny kind of, but you know what so many people noted? The only reason they could do something that free and silly is because they are a very disciplined team. If they were this weird, undisciplined group, that never would have worked. There was freedom in their discipline. That's what Elizabeth Elliot is telling us. There is freedom in the discipline. The God's rules, God's disciplines are not so that you have no fun. It's to give you the freedom to go be and to do and to have, oh, what did Jesus say? Life to the full? So you notice the quote there underneath that reference. The spiritual disciplines are those practices found in Scripture. Very important. It's not just what you think is a spiritual discipline. You know, gardening is my spiritual discipline. No, it's not. You might like it. It might be good for you. It might be very relaxing. Not a spiritual discipline. College football is not my spiritual discipline. Cooking is not your spiritual discipline. Crafting, sorry, Ellie, is not your spiritual discipline. Though discipline found in Scripture that promotes spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the spiritual disciplines and what we will be doing for spiritual growth. One of the things that Whitney points out in his book, they've done some research on how you become proficient or excellent at something. Top tier at something. They said it usually takes about, you ready? 10,000 hours of practice. We're not going to do all that this year. But you ever think about, let's take NBA athletes. How many free throws do you figure they've shot in their career? Since what, middle school, elementary school, high school, college, games, practices. And you know what sometimes they will still do? Practice free throw shooting. These guys ought to be able to do it with their eyes closed and in their sleep. Why would they do that? Because it is important enough to make the effort. Dear friends, that's the why. That's the why. Is it important enough for you to be more like Christ to take the effort? If it's not, what does that say? And don't confuse this. We are not saying that you are earning your salvation. It is not that. There is no chance that in any of these spiritual disciplines we're ever going to say, oh, you're earning your salvation through this. That is not true. But if you don't want to be drawn closer to Christ, what does it say? You notice the quote on the next page. So the spiritual disciplines are those personal and interpersonal activities given by God in the Bible as the sufficient means believers in Jesus Christ are to use in the spirit-filled, gospel-driven pursuit of godliness. That is closeness to Christ and conformity to Christ. Did you know that that's really what Christian means? Little Christ? See, the problem is way too many Christians aren't little Christ at all. Far too many Christians just use the title not knowing what it means. We've got to draw closer to that. There's a famous quote, and Gandhi. Didn't meet him. We didn't hang out. We didn't have lunch. I've read this statement from him, and I'll assume it's true. I read that he once said he probably would have become a Christian had he ever met one. Now, I'm not saying he didn't meet some. Maybe what he thought a Christian should be is not what a Christian really is. I don't know his understanding. But it does make me wonder how many people out there maybe haven't met a real and true Christian. Oh, they've met people that claim it. They've met people that use the title. But they don't know that Christian means little Christ. So we're going to practice these spiritual disciplines throughout this year so that we become more like Christ. Because, dear friends, I would say the only thing this world needs, I know the song, all we need is love. All we need is Christ. And all we need are little Christ showing Christ to the world. So don't confuse it with, I'm going to earn my salvation. I am going to work on being more like Christ through this. One commentator said, the goal of practicing a given spiritual discipline, of course, is not about doing. As much as it is about being, that is being like Jesus. But the biblical way to grow in being more like Jesus is through the rightly motivated doing of the spiritual disciplines. Does that make sense? You're not going to go do work and therefore earn your salvation. You're not going to go do spiritual disciplines just so that you can say you've done them. The goal is to be more like Christ. But how do we be more like Christ? We go do the spiritual disciplines. And what you will find, fascinatingly enough, is how many of these Jesus did. They go back through the list for just a moment. Did he practice silence and solitude? How many times do we find him going off by himself? Did he practice fasting for 40 days? Don't get nervous. Did he practice evangelism? How about learning? I know you're going to go, well, he was God. Yes, but Scripture says that he grew in wisdom and stature. Did he practice serving? Did he practice these things? Yes. So if Jesus, the one we want to be like, practices the spiritual disciplines, oh, we better do that too. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16 there. But as he who called you is holy, Peter's writing. And remember, this is not just Peter writing to a person. This is not just Peter writing to, you'll notice the elect exiles there in chapter 1. This is the Holy Spirit inspiring Peter to write to you. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And I hope whenever you read that, I hope hearing that right now, you went, you want me to be holy? I can't do that. Right. Practice spiritual disciplines. Practice spiritual disciplines. I know usually it's football analogies, but basketball season is coming, and there's really a very interesting analogy in practicing something that seems so ridiculous. I mean, if you know Steph Curry, not the biggest basketball player. Actually, he's kind of short for a basketball player. And you'll see him occasionally hit these ridiculously far shots, like half-court kind of shots. Would you believe he practices those? He practices what seems ridiculous so that he can do it. Practice the spiritual disciplines so that when Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father, so when Peter says, be holy, you don't go, I can never do that. Well, no, you can't. But we're going to practice so we're as holy as we can be. That's the why. We want to be godly. We want Peter's words to be an encouragement to strive and not just something we dismiss as impossible. We're going to practice spiritual disciplines. Flip back last one, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. One more page, man, I tell you. And he said to all, he is Jesus, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I will tell you, there's been lots of discussion through the decades, through the centuries on exactly what that means. And we have really, really belittled that through the years. You know, that boss that's grumpy, that's your cross. No, it's not. That's not your cross to bear. That's just a grumpy boss. Taking up your cross is the idea of dying to yourself. So you get up in the morning and you go, my wants, my dreams, my hopes, my plans are nothing. I give them up. I've died to them. Jesus, this is your life. Do with it what you want. That's what we do when we take up our cross. So when we get to the spiritual discipline, like, well, that's not fun. He didn't ask and he doesn't care. Our life is over. I don't want to do this one. Right. But it's your life now, God. Do with it as you will. And brother says, I'll be honest, it's going to be as much a challenge for me as it is for anybody. There are things in here I'm not going to want to do. Because in my fallen nature, I really like comfort. I like just being easy and casual. But God didn't say, we'll just do what you like. We'll figure it out as we go. Not what he said. Take up your cross. So I guess that's my question. Will you take up your cross this year? Each month, working on a different spiritual discipline, preaching on it, reading about it, actually doing it. Because here's the danger. You'll notice the quote. Despite the example of Jesus and the teaching of the New Testament about Christianity as a life of disciplined spirituality. Now, brother says, I'll tell you too, one of the challenges for some of us is we're generally not very disciplined at all. You set an alarm, but there's this wonderful little button that says snooze. You know, I don't think there's a limit to how many times you can hit that. There's probably a practical limit to how many times you should, but you can just keep hitting it over and over again. Difference, I think we're not very disciplined in general. So spiritual disciplines are going to be hard, but it is clear in Scripture, and the quote continues, many professing Christians are spiritually undisciplined and seem to have little Christ-like fruit and power in their lives. So this may be challenging for some of us because we're not very disciplined in general. So discipline is going to be hard. Spiritual discipline is even harder, but here's the question, is it worth it? Because why are we doing this? To be more like God. To be little Christ, is that worth it to you? Athletes will spend 10,000 hours to become great at something so they get a trophy and a ring with lots of diamonds. Who cares? Hey, who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? Okay, that was probably a decent guess whether it was right or not. Does it matter? Do we care? Oh, you remember the poem from a few weeks ago? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Dear brothers, I will tell you, that's not just about what's done for Christ in this life will last, although that's true. It's for your eternal soul. Are the spiritual disciplines, is the work worth it? Because here's what I do know. The things that are worth it to you, you will spend the time doing. One of the things that Noah's been keeping me up to date on some terminology. And if you're a gamer, you might grind. Grinding is, I got to go play this game a bunch so that I can get the reward, so that I can get better. So it's just spending time playing the game so that you can improve your character. Dear friends, how many of us have our own little things that we'll spend lots of time doing? We love watching Lego Masters. Man, I like that show probably more than I should. And I see these guys going, well, here's all the things that I've built. Holy cow! How much time did you do on that? But it's worth it because they like it. You will spend time. You will spend lots of time. You will spend lots of energy on what is important to you. That's why this first Sunday on spiritual disciplines, it was just a question of, will you do them? One last warning. Thus, the danger of neglecting the spiritual disciplines is the danger of bearing little spiritual fruit. Your life counting little for the sake of the kingdom. I hope you have a two-edged reason for doing spiritual disciplines this year. One, so that you can be more like Christ, you can grow in godliness, and be further along the path of being the Christian you were called to be. And two, so that you will be more effective for the kingdom. I hope both of those are why you want to, at least willing to practice spiritual disciplines this year. I am not promising you that it's going to be easy. Oh, I'm not telling you it's always going to be hard. But what did Paul say to Timothy? I discipline myself. It's work. It's effort. It's laborious. Is it worth it to you? It was worth it to Paul. It was worth it to the disciples. It was worth it to Jesus. Is it worth it to you? Let's pray. Father, as we think about the labors that we want to undertake, that we need to undertake, that you have called us to undertake, I pray that we will undertake them with joy, that we will undertake them with seriousness, that we will undertake them with all the energy that we can for our good and your glory, for our godliness, and for your kingdom. May we strive with everything that we have, with everything that we are, to be disciplined, to be Christians for you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This is, of course, your chance to respond. Maybe you want to come up here and pray. Maybe you want to